Top story today, though, a long simmering local controversy bubbling over as the Chapel Hill Carrboro PTA Council has officially asked the PTA thrift shop to cease and desist using the name PTA. That coming from a letter from the council to the thrift shop that was sent yesterday after the council voted unanimously to do so at a meeting last month. WCHL News Director Blake Hodge joining us here now in the studio, having come from the blood drive earlier this afternoon, which is going quite well,
I hear.
That
was cool. It was the 30th anniversary, and so they had a big celebration over there today because they are also anticipating that this will put them over the 100,000 people reached as part of the blood drive. You know, every pint, I believe, if I'm getting this correct, every pint that is given can be spread out to saving three lives at the end of the day, whenever you are using these blood transfusions. So to be able to say that it's impacted 100,000 people over the 30 years is a pretty remarkable legacy.
Yeah.
We were able to talk with Maya Franklin from the Red Cross, kind of one of the local organizers of this, and the need goes up so much over the summer. It's the summertime, and then over the holiday break and the winter, where we see the blood donations go down so much, but the need for blood doesn't go down at all. So it's important to have things at times like this. And we talked to Dr. Herbert Davis, who was a former UNC faculty member. He's given blood every year of the Carolina Blood Drive, all 30 years. So even just doing the math on him personally, nearing 100 people that could have been touched by him going through this gesture every year. Barbara Hardin was there, the wife of the late Chancellor Paul Hardin. And one of the weird things that came out of it today was current Chancellor Carol Folt and Barbara Hardin realizing that neither of them knew that it was actually Chancellor Hardin at the time that was the driving force to start this 30 years ago. Barbara said he was O negative, so he was able to be the universal donor there, and it was such an important thing in his mind that he was, you know, kind of put full force behind this 30 years ago, and having the foresight to do it over the summer like this whenever he knew that blood donations are just going through these cycles of kind of a drought is really interesting.
Well, it's also telling that, I mean, you know enough about giving blood and the blood drive process to know that it's important to do, to know when to do it, to take the initiative and do it and not to brag about it. Like the fact that, like, Barbara Hardin didn't know until, or wasn't really fully aware until today, that it was Paul Hardin who really started it. That says a lot about Paul Hardin and the
just
initiative
in general,
that he took and not really doing it for personal glory or anything like that.
Yeah, she said, I always knew it was very important to him, but didn't know exactly going back to the roots of this. But there were two people there today. I the first one came through this morning, so I wasn't able to talk with him. But the second one, Dr. Davis there, that had given every year. And I think that's kind of astonishing as well. Just the things happen, circumstances happen every once in a while where something gets in the way of nothing intentional or anything else. You happen to be out of town the day that
you get sick.
30 years
that
he's given every year for 30 years.
That's
exactly. Like, I mean, there are restrictions on being able to give blood, so never having any type of specific illness or on any type of medication that would prevent you from doing that.
Or if you just get a bad cold or something.
Right.
Sure, you can still give blood, but like, who
just
wants to get
today
off the couch
right
that day? Right,
so
exactly.
I thought that was really interesting to be able to talk with him a little bit as well.
Yep. Speaking with WCHL News Director Blake Hodge, that's the positive development.
Yeah.
The more contentious development that we're following is this conflict between the PTA Council and the PTA Thrift Shop, and not necessarily a sort of acrimonious necessarily, but the PTA Thrift Shop has kind of expanded / changed its funding mission in the last few years, and that means significantly fewer dollars for actual PTAs, and that has come to a point now after 6 years of that where the PTA Council is officially saying, okay, you need to actually stop using the name PTA,
which is
putting in that request.
I mean, just as it's the PTA Thrift Shop. I've been for as long as, of course, I've been around the community in this kind of reporting fashion. It's just so ingrained into the community. I think this will be a really odd thing to see play out, but the PTA Council, the Chapel Carbon City Schools PTA Council, did send this letter back on Monday to the PTA thrift shop executives, trying to push this along and saying to immediately cease and desist the use
of the PTA. Yeah, just described it as a request. It's more of
operators.
A demand than a request.
They're giving, kind of technically, they're saying that it should, the whole process of removing signage and website and everything should be done by July 15th. Now, we're still trying to figure out what this means kind of going forward for the PTA thrift shop as it stands now. And just as a side note, all of that signage is still on the social platforms, the digital platforms for the thrift shop. But
And letterhead and everything else.
Oh, yeah,
else
I mean,
the
things that I could, you know, kind of look at very quickly before coming on here. But you mentioned the funding model, and I think that's a really obviously important part of this, of just collecting money and giving it directly to the PTA councils versus what the thrift shop has kind of migrated to in terms of giving out small grants and things like that. And not to put a qualitative assessment or anything on either of these funding models. It's just a shift in the funding models of giving these small grants and things like that, supporting things outside of directly with the public schools and expanding the property, you know, just ownership, and then building and expanding the what they have out there at YouthWorks on Main.
Right. I mean, we've talked so much about YouthWorks on Main as being this cool new building, space for nonprofits, space for community organizations
still supporting
and members.
School age children and all those kinds of things.
But indirectly
through those
nonprofits, right. And the PTA thrift shop people, Barbara Jesse Black and folks who have been coming in every single week to do Kids Q on the air every single Wednesday, really excited about YouthWorks on Main and the opportunities that that provides to help the community in a whole bunch of different ways. It doesn't mean, it specifically means that funding that is going to YouthWorks and is going to those organizations is not going to PTAs. And this is coming at a time when, I mean, we've had this conversation in a thousand different ways. You've got federal pressure, you've got state pressure, both of which are financial. School systems here locally are struggling to make ends meet. PTAs are a huge, huge part of that, and they're not getting the funds from the thrift shop that they were as recently as 2011. So.
Right, and you know that's kind of when, going through the timeline, a lot of these kind of really substantive changes came in the thrift shop in terms of the YouthWorks on Main and all the construction and everything that's been going on over there. I mean, all those things obviously cost money and will continue to cost money. I mean, you're paying
mortgages involved
on these things. So there's a couple of interesting things of this. The PTA Council sending this letter, you know, saying, you know, PTA is a trademark name. The quoting from the letter here, the National PTA is a formal membership organization. Use of the name requires following many rules and regulations, including an annual financial review or audit. School-based groups that choose to belong to the PTA must pay dues to the state and national organizations and abide by state and national rules. The PTA Thrift Shop does not comply with any of these requirements to use the PTA name, again, according to this letter that was sent from the PTA Council to the thrift shop board of directors. Hard to kind of make sure we're differentiating these two entities. And that's one of the things that seems to be at issue here, is how ingrained that name and branding is into the community. Another line from the letter that stuck out to me was that the community needs transparency on the new relationship between our organizations, which can be achieved only through a change in name. And I think that's going to be a really interesting dynamic to, again, just see played out over the actual logistics of this and whether you know those changes are how they're going to be rolled out and things like that are certainly what we'll have to keep an eye on from here.
Speaking with Blake Hodge, and to put some of these numbers into perspective, I mentioned the difference between 2011 and today. Numbers from the PTA Council, and this is kind of in conjunction with reporting from the Herald Sun, I think the thrift shop gave PTAs $265,000 in 2011. The following year, that number dropped to $30,000. In 2012. It's dropped virtually every year since, with one or two exceptions. In 2016, this is the last year we have numbers for, thrift shop gave PTAs $13,100. Chatham PTA's, the Chatham PTA thrift shop gave PTA $650,000, and that's with almost exactly the same total revenue. So that's the kind of the change in the last 6 or 7 years that's sparking this. And now the real question is, what is the PTA thrift shop going to do and how they're going to respond? Because right. the ball is now in their court in terms of saying, okay, you're right, we'll change our name to something else, and then what is that name going to be? Or no, we're going to push back on this. And given the tenor of the letter that came out yesterday,
there's a lot of legal language.
So if the thrift shop does decide to push back, if that ends up being what happened, this could end up being a legitimate legal battle.
And they've gone through a couple of rounds of mediation. It sounded like that you just kind of meet that fork in the road of realizing that the mission may not be the same as it was 60 years ago, almost at this point, you know. So I think that's
or 10.
And you know, expanding the scope of the work that's going on with the PTA thrift shop is, I don't think anybody would really come negatively directly at those things. But whenever you're looking at it in conjunction with you're having to spend money here, it obviously is going to take away from what's going directly to the PTA councils here. So it's a lot of moving parts, and obviously one that's been going on for a long time. And I do want to give special credit to Tammy Grubb at the Herald Sun and you know, during the time when it was Chapel Hill News here as well. She's, you know, carried a lot of the brunt of looking through all the nonprofit paperwork on this and all these kinds of things. So credit to the work that she's done there as well, trying to tell this story in the best way possible. It's really complicated, and it doesn't look like it's going to be any less complicated over the next few days. But we are expecting, after some decision is made by the PTA Thrift Shop Board of Directors, you know, obviously some sort of vote and all that's going to have to be carried out by their board to then move forward in one way or another. And what that ultimately looks like obviously remains to be seen.
We'll keep following all of that. Blake Hodge, thank you so much.